Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, titled the Indian Lands and Government Contracts Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 18, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Machibi Nashiwish Band of Potawatomi Indians versus Patachuk, consolidated with Salazar versus Patachuk. This case considered whether an individual may file suit to challenge the federal government's placement of land into trust for use by Indian tribes. The court faced the question whether the United States had waived its sovereign immunity from suit, and if so, whether the individual had standing to pursue his claims. In an opinion delivered by Justice Kagan, the court held by a vote of 8-1 that the United States had indeed waived sovereign immunity, and that the plaintiff did have prudential standing to challenge the government placement of land into trust for use by Indian tribes. The Chief Justice and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Alito joined Justice Kagan's opinion. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss these cases, we have Tom Getty, who is a commissioner on the Indian Law and Order Commission and of counsel with Bingham McCrutchen, LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Getty.
This is Tom Getty. In what undoubtedly will prove to be a new weapon in the fight against the expansion of Indian casinos, the Supreme Court has handed a victory to a citizen challenging a potential tribal casino development. On June 18, 2012, the Supreme Court decided the case of Machibi Nashiwish Band of Potawatomi Indians versus David Patrick, consolidated with Salazar versus Patrick. While the case touches on important and somewhat general questions of federal sovereign immunity and what constitutes prudential standing under the Administrative Procedure Act, it will be remembered more for the impact it has on Indian tribes and the ability or inability of tribal casino projects to move forward on land taken into trust by the Secretary of Interior under authority given the Secretary by a specific land in trust acquisition statute. The case came to the High Court from the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Mr. Patrick, a property owner and neighbor of the land being taken into trust, contended he had standing to challenge the federal government's action being taken on behalf of the Michigan tribe, commonly known as the Gun Lake Band, alleging he will suffer economic, environmental, and aesthetic harm. In his action, he asserted that the secretary's taking the land in a trust violated Section 465 of the Indian Reorganization Act, or IRA, because the band was not under federal jurisdiction in 1934, a condition of the Secretary's power under the Court's 2009 decision in Carcieri versus Salazar. The Supreme Court reviewed the questions of immunity and standing, and by an 8-1 margin, it opined first that the federal government is not immune from such a suit, and second, that Mr. Patrick had prudential standing to pursue the challenge. Justice Elena Kagan authored the opinion for the majority. Justice Sotomayor provided the lone dissent. As to the question of federal sovereign immunity, the court acknowledged that as a general matter, the Administrative Procedure Act, or APA, waives the federal government's bar of sovereign immunity from lawsuits challenging the actions or failures of a federal agency or official. However, the APA's general waiver from suit does not apply if any other statute that grants consent to suit expressly or impliedly forbids the relief being sought. The government and the tribe argued that the Federal Quiet Title Act is just such a statute, as it bars quiet title suits against the federal government taking land into trust for Indian tribes. The Supreme Court, however, found the suit brought by Mr. Patrick was not a quiet title suit, as Patrick was not seeking to assert his own ownership interest in the property placed into trust for the tribe, which is what a quiet title suit is all about, one's own ownership interest, the court said. Patrick's claim, the court ruled, was a garden variety APA claim. Significantly, such actions are subject to the general 6-year statute of limitations contained in Title 28, U.S. Code Section 2401A. Additionally, the High Court ruled the property owner, plaintiff David Patrick, had prudential standing to proceed with his lawsuit as his allegations of economic, environmental, and aesthetic harm were within the requisite, quote, zone of interest, close quote, contemplated by the statute authorizing acquisition of land for Indian tribes. This all goes back to the notion set forth in the 1970 case Association of Data Processing Service Organizations versus CAMP, that a person suing under the APA must assert an interest that is, quote, arguably within the zone of interest to be protected or regulated by the statute, close quote, that he says was violated. The government and the tribe had maintained ordinary citizens are not within the zone of interest Congress intended to cover in a statute that only goes to the secretary's acquisition of the land and that does not turn on any particular use of the land, gaming or otherwise. The High Court rejected that argument, however, noting the secretary takes title to properties with at least one eye directed towards how the tribes will use those lands. And in this case, the decision to acquire the property in question under Section 465 involved questions of land use. The majority states, quote, and so neighbors to the use, like Petchick, are reasonable, indeed predictable, challengers of the secretary's decisions. Their interests, whether economic, environmental, or aesthetic, come within Section 465's regulatory ambit, close quote. And thus, the court concludes, Mr. Petchick has the requisite prudential standing to sue under the APA. Justice Sotomayor dissented, arguing the decision will cause untenable delays and uncertainties for the government's process of taking land for Indian tribes. She reasoned that the Quiet Title Act forbids the relief Petchick seeks to oust the government of title to Indian trust land, and thus by the terms of the APA, Petchick may not avoid the QTA's constraints by suing under the APA. The text and history of the QTA, Justice Sotomayor reasoned, demonstrate the United States intended to retain its sovereign immunity from suits to dispossess the government of Indian trust land, and thus Petchick's suit to oust the government of such land is therefore, at a minimum, impliedly forbidden. She also notes that the decision affected the window of reviewability of government trust land acquisition decisions. Under the Interior Department regulations, specifically 25 CFR section 151.12, parties seeking to challenge such decisions had only a 30-day window to seek judicial review. Justice Sotomayor notes that that deadline promoted finality and security, necessary preconditions for the investment and economic development that are the central goals of the IRA. The majority's opinion, she said, will promote the opposite, retarding tribes' ability to develop land until the APA's six-year statute of limitations has lapsed, leading to uncertainty and potential gamesmanship in the filing of lawsuits under the APA. While no justice of the court signed on to Justice Sotomayor's reasoning in the dissent, her most salient point may be the potential for uncertainty in economic development and investments in Indian country. Whether it will constrain the ability of the Secretary of Interior to take land into trust for Indian tribes for casino development is almost beside the point. In fact, the investors and developers who would risk capital, time, and reputation to plan an Indian casino development now have to think doubly hard about proceeding with plans, knowing that neighbors to the proposed trust lands can tie up the legality of the trust transfer for years. This is clearly a win for casino opponents and community activists opposed to the spread of gambling, as well as those pressing claims that under Carcieri, the secretary is restricted from taking land in the trust for tribes not under federal jurisdiction in 1934, however that is interpreted. Clearly, however, more litigation will follow as the edges of this jurisprudence is tested and refined.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.